from the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the story of the boy who died and came back. Talking about coming back, I'm back from Boise, Idaho at a great weekend event. What a great city and a superb coast-to-coast family out there. Packed the Egyptian Theater. Here's what's happening. Australian officials say the search for the missing Malaysia Airlines plane has been suspended because of bad weather. High winds, rain meant planes could not fly safely. And the Malaysian Prime Minister, by the way, says satellite data shows that the plane ended its journey in remote seas west of Australia, telling the relatives they had all died. Relatives of those on board, of course, have voiced grief and anger, while China has demanded to see the satellite information on which that conclusion was based. Some people still don't believe it. Another theory, flight MH370 crashed into the Indian Ocean in an apparent suicide mission. Well-placed sources revealed that, as Malaysia's prime minister again said, that everyone on the aircraft had died. James Sanders, of course, wrote the book, The Downing of TWA Flight 800. You know, I don't know, James. I've heard this story, and I've heard what's been going on all weekend with them talking about the programmed computer. It wasn't programmed. I'm not sure they know what they're talking about.
Well, they seem to be going back and forth. Let me just start with this. The Malaysian Prime Minister's statement on its face is factually false. Period.
Explain.
He says that that satellite, after they went and reanalyzed, that that was conclusive evidence. It's not even compelling. It's certainly not conclusive. It is, as of yet, not even compelling. They've never even tested it, it appears. If they've tested it, they forgot to mention it. What they've said is this is the first time. I checked some Malaysian papers a couple days ago, and they said, well, this is the first time we've tried to do this, but here's our conclusions based on this. Yeah, that's nothing better than educated guess, or not even sure it's an educated guess yet. You have to do some scientific testing, and at that time, they probably will have a product that in that 360-degree circle, they can, with some confidence, narrow it down to, you know, some portion of that 360-degree circle. They can't do that at this point. They've never claimed they can do it off of scientific evidence. So at this point, there's really not much that's changed.
Do you still believe, James, that that plane could be on the ground somewhere?
I tend to believe, I'll tell you why after I say it. I tend to believe that the plane's been taken care of by, I would guess, a special operation. The reason I say that, and that it was known during the special operation that the people were all dead. If you read the Malaysian, I got it up on screen here. Let me read it real quick.
Okay.
Malaysian Airlines also sent a text message to relatives saying, quote, we have to assume beyond any reasonable doubt that MH370 has been lost and that none of those on board survived. Now, that's a carefully written statement. I can't argue with that. That's completely different than what the prime minister said. But you have to remember, they're not used to dealing with the Western media at all.
No.
Now, here in the United States, we're used to our politicians and bureaucrats being propagandists.
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently they're not there.
All right, James, we'll just keep following up on this one. It still gets stranger and stranger. In a moment, by the way, Jesse Ventura joins me for a few hours. That's just one of the subjects we'll talk with Jesse about. Authorities in the state of Washington have found six more bodies after Saturday's huge landslide, bringing the known number to have died now to 14. Officials say that as many as 176 people remain unaccounted for after the 177-foot wall of mud hit the town near Oso, north of Seattle. Search crews have worked day and night using helicopters. Little hope of finding survivors in that mud. Mitch Batras, of course, Earth Changes Media. Mitch, I assume they just got too much rain. What happened out there?
Well, I'm a bit suspicious of exactly what happened. What they're claiming is it's just rain, just a large amount of rain, and that the land became unstable. But I'll tell you, George, this has all the markings of what's called a lahar.
What's that?
A lahar is usually associated with volcanoes. It's a mud flow, a huge debris flow, which usually is consistent with or involves some form of magma or lava.
Ah, okay.
And then it takes down the trees and rocks and everything in its path. And it has the consistency of basically wet concrete. It's fluid is while it's moving, and then once it stops, it starts to solidify. And I'll tell you, George, this is much worse than I would hope it to be. It's heartbreaking to me because it's in my area. This area called Oso is basically a bedroom community to Seattle and Everett now. You know, as cities grow larger, people start to move further out into town. Well, as a result of that, and I don't know why they're doing it, but I have several new photos, some that people haven't seen because I have my connection directly with Seattle. But I'm not going to put up the photos. It's just my personal thing, showing pictures of the missing people, many of which are children.
Oh, that's sad.
And I tell you, Joe, it's just really rough. It's a hard thing for me. I don't know what they have. They're evacuating the towns around that area. They've blocked off all the major roads because of flood warnings now, because it is near one of the rivers there. It's been there a long time. And there have been landslides much, much smaller in the past. But the way it's described and everything I'm reading really defines what's called a lahar. That's L-A-H-A-R.
All right. Nobody's talked about that, Mitch. You're the first person. Mitch Batras, of course, earthchangesmedia.com. 14 dead, 176 people unaccounted for in that whatever happened in the state of Washington. Coroners in London are preparing to investigate a story we've been reporting on. Two apparent suicides, unexpected deaths by finance workers around the world, have raised concerns about mental health and stress levels in the banking industry. The inquest into the death of a 58-year-old man retired from the Deutsche Bank. They found him dead in his London home in January. That starts tomorrow. An inquest for Gabriel McGee, a 39-year-old vice president at J.P. Morgan Chase. He died after falling from the firm's 33-story London headquarters. That starts in May. Suicides were followed by others around the world, including a J.P. Morgan executive in Hong Kong and a chief economist at the Seattle-based Russell Investment Company as well. Very strange story. Actor James Rebhorn, known for roles in the TV series Homeland, is dead of skin cancer, 65 years old. You will know his face if you see it. He's a very good actor. A man returning to Canada from Liberia, seriously ill in the hospital after experiencing symptoms consistent with Ebola. Oh, boy, don't bring that here. It has killed already dozens in New Guinea. The man is in Saskatchewan. He is in solitary confinement, his family in quarantine. In a moment, Jesse Ventura joins us. We'll talk about all these issues worldwide and a new program for Jesse upcoming on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Jesse Ventura, I really don't even have to introduce him to you because you know him that well, but I might as well. He's the former independent governor of Minnesota, former U.S. Navy SEAL, professional wrestler, a movie actor, of course, visiting fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, host and executive producer of True TV's Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. He's got a new venture coming, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. Jesse with us for a couple hours. Always a pleasure, Mr. Ventura. How are you?
I'm doing good, George. How are you doing?
Fine. You still in Mexico?
Yeah, I'm 1,000 miles south of the border.
Well, that's good. I mean, you made that pledge that you were staying there and as long as you can, and you're sticking to your guns.
Oh, no, it isn't really that. I think there's a lot of, crazy stuff, I guess, that's thought about what I've done, but it was simply when I got out of office, I went and taught at Harvard, but I wanted to go on an adventure in my life, and I was in my early 50s at the time, and And it just became an adventure, and I fell in love with living off the grid. And I do it every winter. I have done it for 8 years because, quite honestly, I'm a born and raised Minnesotan, but I hate winter. I don't even know how to skate. I was a swimmer. I spent all winter in a swimming pool when I was back in school and high school and everything. I was a competitive swimmer. And so, you know, I just chose that lifestyle. And this show came about that I wrote books down here because I don't watch United States television. In fact, I don't watch television at all when I live down here. I live a completely different lifestyle than what I do up in the United States. And I read a great deal, and it's down here where I've wrote my 5 or 6 books since I've been coming down here. And I was on the book tour, and Larry King was on my schedule, and I thought Larry had retired when he left CNN, but lo and behold, he's with Aura.tv over the internet, and an internet show. And Larry right away was interviewing me on the particular book, and he looked at me and said, "Governor, this is where you need to be." And I talked to the Aura people, and lo and behold, everything came about. But the problem seemed to be, I thought it would be a problem. I said, "Well, here's the deal." I said, "I live 4 to 5 months every year off the grid, 1,000 miles south of our border. How could I possibly do a show?" And they assured me, they said, "We have the best technology known to man at this moment."
It is amazing now, isn't it?
And he said, "It don't matter where you're at. If we have the solar power to draw the energy, and if we can get a direct beam to the satellite, we got the show." So then the show actually morphed into being what it is, Off the Grid.
Perfect name. Perfect.
Yeah, well, because I am off the grid, and I'm now giving a perspective of what it's like to view the United States being a far away off the grid.
And knowing you, Jesse, no holds bar here. You're not holding back.
George, I got to tell you, I have a smile on my face because being that it's the internet, there's no FCC regulations. The government can't say anything or do anything about it. I've been given for the first time the freedom that anything I talk about is what I want to talk about. It doesn't come from anyone whatsoever upstairs. I mean, when you look at all the national TV shows, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, whatever it might be, they're all doing the same stories
over and over.
Over again. Where do they come from? Upstairs. I knew that with my short-lived tenure with MSNBC. It was one of the major fights I had with them right at the get-go, and probably helped ensure I would never get on the air, which I didn't, is I wouldn't do Anna Nicole Smith.
Did you... When you were doing all
that. And also, I was opposed to the Iraq war. Let me throw that out.
I remember that. But, you know, I was too. And I'm glad you stood up for that. When you were going through all this, did you ever get to that point where you said, there's something wrong here with this government? Not the country. And I just hope everybody understands that. Whenever we criticize, we're not criticizing the country, but we're criticizing some of the people who are running the government and doing what they do. Did you ever have any problems, any issues with anybody?
Always. Yeah. You mean when I was in government?
Yeah, when you were the governor.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, after 4 years as an independent governor, totally independent, I had no PAC money, no special interest money. George, they don't like to talk about my election because it was unbelievably remarkable.
It was.
We only raised $300,000.
Unbelievable.
That's all we raised.
Why doesn't Jesse Ventura think about 2016 as president?
Well, because let me explain.
And you told me once.
You go in there as an independent, George. And you're going into the middle of the Crips and the Blood.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like the book I wrote, The Democrips and the Rebloodlicans. I like to laughingly tell people today, one of the reasons I left office after only 4 years is because I felt I needed a shower. You know, I like to use that terminology because it is so corrupt. It is so, it's based upon bribery. The whole system is based on the concept of bribery. And I mean, if you do that in the private sector, you go to jail.
When I do events, I talk about two people, Ron Paul and you, when we talk about various issues. And always people stand up and give both of you standing ovations. I'm telling you, you've got a core support here in this country that is deeper than you might not even know about.
Maybe I I'm honored if that's the way it is, George. I'm just being what I feel is a vigilant citizen. You know, Thomas Jefferson and Adams and Washington and those people that came up with this brilliant idea of creating this government of the people, for the people, and by the people, they required us as citizens to be vigilant, and they warned us if we weren't, we'd lose it. Well, we're losing it. I think so anyway, but we haven't lost it yet. And all I'm being is a vigilant citizen. And that means holding government's feet to the fire. It means using the First Amendment and protesting when you don't like something. It means having the right to protect yourself with the Second Amendment. It means the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, the fabric of our nation. And the thing that has me most disturbed is ever since 9/11, our government is running under the position that the Constitution and Bill of Rights have been suspended. And that is not true because we are not under martial law. And that's the only way the Constitution and Bill of Rights get suspended is the declaration of martial law.
If Jesse Ventura were president, I want to throw off a few subjects here and see how you'd handle this. How would you handle Vladimir Putin in this Crimea situation at the Ukraine?
Well, you know, I do a lot of reading, and I've come to realize how the entire Cold War was a complete setup, and they're doing it again.
Yep.
They're doing it again. My belief is all these wars are setups. I'm a great believer in L. Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Prouty, and what he wrote about. And I think that all these wars are to feed the industrial war machine. You know, they talk about, and so Putin getting, not to stray from the subject, but to me, diplomacy, enough war. You know, I've had it with war. It's that simple. War is the failure of politicians. When we sink to our lowest level, that's war. And that's when politicians have failed. So if a war starts, look to the politicians. It's their failure is why we're fighting.
No
and
doubt.
All diplomatic should be exhausted. And all this crap about, you know, it makes me sick when I do catch these crazy Fox and these TV networks where they say that we need to respond, that Russia's making us look weak. Excuse me, we have the biggest defense budget than the next 25 countries combined. Nobody can make us look weak. We can blow up the world 100 times over.
And thank God we haven't done that.
Well, the point being is, who cares? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, generally speaking.
Well, and the other thing, Jesse, is how do you tell Putin, get out of there, when we're in Afghanistan and Iraq?
The hypocrisy of it's astounding. You know, I sat and listened to these people saying you can't make that comparison because we're there to liberate. Excuse me, why do we allow them to rewrite history? There wasn't one Iraqi person who was asking us to invade their country.
And the guy we installed as the president of Afghanistan, Karzai, every chance he gets, he votes against us.
Well, we also put the drug lords back up on their feet in Afghanistan. The poppy industry and opium and heroin,
that's true,
is now flourishing again.
That is so true. Jesse, yeah, we're going to take this quick break. Come back with you in just a moment. Jesse Ventura, he's got a brand new television show called Off the Grid, which is on Aura.tv. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with him. Great opportunity to chat with the former governor of Minnesota, and the man himself, Jesse Ventura. His website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jesse Ventura with us. Jesse, it looks like you're having fun doing Off the Grid.
Well, it's I always have fun when I go off the grid. It's a lifestyle that at this point in my life that I really thoroughly enjoy. It flushes your brain out a little. Like one of the great things I did last year, George, people will say to me, what can you do off the grid that you can't do up in the States? And I like to tell the story about last year when I went out with a Mexican guide and actually touched gray whales in the wild, and not just touched them, but we had a mother and her young one spend an hour and 15 minutes with us, actually playing with us. This is a 40-foot gray whale, and I'm in a 19-foot boat.
That's amazing.
And I put my hands in their mouths.
And they didn't chomp down on you, did they?
No, because we're not on their food chain.
That's right.
They don't have teeth. They eat plankton off the bottom. They're extremely intelligent. You can tell it when you look in their eyes. The mother actually would go underneath and lift her baby up so that we could touch it more, like how proud she was of it.
That's something. They're like dolphins. I mean, they all communicate with us in a different way.
Well, there's no doubt they communicate with each other, because this only happens in a certain area. And it was discovered by an elderly Mexican man. And he developed a rapport with them. And how would they know that it's safe? Like when you go out there, you don't approach them. They come to you.
That's right. Now, when you're doing the TV show, which has been up and running now, you've got a number of episodes under your belt already, don't you?
Oh, yeah, on Aura.tv. Oh, yeah, we're in full swing. I mean, I'm banging out 4 new shows a week, and it's phenomenal because it's whatever subject I deem to want to talk about, and it's my constant war against the Democrats and Republicans. I think I'm free to be able to do that, considering I've been an opponent of both of those parties for going on 25 years now in the political arena, and they've ruined, in my opinion, they're ruining our country and have ruined it. They're fully responsible for everything. They've been in charge for 150 years, and we have to do what our forefathers, Jefferson and Adams and Washington, warned us. They said the downfall of America would be when political parties take over the government.
There is a tremendous unrest here in this country, Jesse, with government.
There should be.
The people are just upset. They're fed up. And, I don't know when that pressure cooker is going to go.
George, look at it like this statistically. we only lead the world in 3 things now. You know, the United States, really. We lead in defense spending, where we spend more than the other 25 nations combined. And I think 24 of them are our allies, something like that. We lead the nation in the most incarcerated people in prison per capita.
Yeah.
I mean, how we're supposed to be home of the brave, land of the free. Have we forgotten that word, free? We're supposed to be the diverse nation, the nation that's all different people and all things come together and everything's accepted. And today you're looking at states like Arizona passing laws to discriminate against gay people so people don't have to serve you if you're gay. I mean, they've now proven chromosome-wise that gays have a different, you know, they're born that way. Anybody that thinks they're not is nuts.
Yet they put them down. You know, it's just crazy.
They discriminate against them the same as they do someone's color of their skin. And then here's the thing I hit hard on my show. Why do they continue to allow Washington to use that racist name? I mean, I marched with the Native Americans when Washington came and played the Vikings, and a young Native American came up to me that night and showed me a copy of the Winona, Minnesota paper. Now, Winona's a little town, beautiful little town, down on the Mississippi River, southeast of Minneapolis, 90 miles, whatever it is.
Yep.
And this was from 1863 or something like that. Headline in the Winona paper, they had raised the bounty to $200 for every redskin you could send to purgatory.
Jeez.
Now, $200 in 1863,
that's a lot of money.
Like 20 grand.
Yeah, that was a lot
that
of cash.
That had to be like 20 grand back then. So if you went out and murdered four Native Americans or five innocent and just brought them in, their carcasses, and sending them to purgatory, like it said, you'd get $1,000.
Were people actually doing that, Jesse?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
They could shoot them like you could squirrel hunting. And it said the term redskins. For every redskin, you send to purgatory. So here's a race of people they're deeming is going to purgatory simply because of the color of their skin.
I would hope most things have changed.
No. How can they? When we have a pro football team that advertises a name that the Native Americans have stated is offensive. One of the greatest jackets I saw, a guy had it and said, I'm a Cherokee, not a Redskin.
You know what? That's the most important thing. If they think it's offensive, then it should be changed.
Well, here's the bottom line, George. Could you walk up to any Native American that you did not know and address him by that and say, hey, come over here?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think would happen? If you didn't get punched in the nose, you'd get off easy.
It would also be a career killer. You know? That would be it.
Well, and the point is, and here's what it showed me, George. It showed me that we as, and now corporations are supposed to be equal to us now. Well, if we do that as citizens, we're not allowed to get away with that. But yet a corporation can be racist. The National Football League can be racist by having that nickname.
Well, let's hope it changes.
No. Now, did you see the latest? He's going to open up a thing where they're going to raise money and they're going to get things to the Native Americans and help them out. Isn't that sweet? So you can buy your way out of racism now?
That's what it is. Have you been following?
That's what they're going to do. That's what they're doing. They said I just saw it. They said they just sent letters to all of the fans, the loyal fans of Washington. I don't even like to use it. When I worked in the NFL, I refused to say, I did the best. I never said their nickname. I always referred to them only as Washington.
Washington, yeah. But,
I mean, now they think that they can just throw money at them and it's okay.
It's all about money these days, Jesse.
It sure is.
It is. Have you been following Malaysian plane episode?
I'm off the grid, so I have as difficult as time as I ever to be up on news. Well, as it happens, I know nothing about it. I'm not going to comment on it. The only thing I said over the internet was I find it unbelievable that they can listen to every one of our phone calls, but they can lose a plane.
Yeah, exactly. I think they know where it is. It's just my gut.
First of all, George, here would be the only comment I would have on it, because I know nothing. Don't the black boxes have transformers that send off signals?
They're supposed to.
Well, at 9/11 they didn't, though, so there's the exception to the rule.
Now don't get me started on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I threw that in there because I knew, because that's the only other time. The transponders allegedly didn't work, although, what's his name? Gosh, I can't think of his name now. I had spoken to him. He was there the night they found three of the four of them at 9/11.
And who
Mike Malone.
Okay.
Mike Malone. He was one of the workers there who volunteered for like 300 and some days to clean it up. And he told me unequivocally that he was there the night they found three of the black boxes at 9/11. He said, I don't know what became of them. They took them away in dark-colored vans.
Look how much has changed in 12 and a half years.
Oh, horrid.
That's crazy.
Horrid. We've been saddled with what I call the Treason Act. They call it the Patriot Act. It's treason to our Constitution and Bill of Rights.
You know, I went through, I went to Boise, Idaho this weekend. I had a little event I was part of. And somehow I was qualified to take an orange card and to get through TSA. I got to keep my shoes on and my jacket and everything else. And they still stopped me. because I had a credit card in my pocket, and it showed up as something.
Didn't you have to go through a metal detector?
I went through a detector.
See, there's the problem for me, George. I have metal in my body.
From your wrestling days, right?
So it does not... I had the hip done.
Okay.
You know, it could have been from my active physical life of my life. I wore it out after 50-some years.
And that's pretty common operation, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, well, see, because I have metal in my body, I go through the metal detector, I'm treated like a criminal from that point on. That's why I don't fly. I quit flying, 5-6 years ago? I can't even remember now. I took them to federal court. I sued over my Fourth Amendment rights. Because my key thing was, the key word is reasonable. Reasonable search and seizure, and I contended it was not reasonable to believe Jesse Ventura is a threat. I've been a mayor, I've been a governor, I'm an honorably discharged Navy veteran, and I've been flying for 30 years in my career. And I wanted to go to court over it. The federal judge threw it out of court.
He tossed it out, I remember that.
Yeah, and ruled she didn't have jurisdiction. Now, and then we come to find out that's what they do with anything against TSA or Homeland Security. The federal courts just toss it. They won't hear it.
Do you miss public office?
Parts of it, absolutely. I mean, there's parts of it. You accomplish things. There's things that I loved about it. I loved my security guys. I loved my bodyguards.
Well, when you ran, what compelled you to run in Minnesota?
I had been a mayor, and I went back to the private sector for 5 years. And during the latter part, Clinton era, wealth was abundant. And the state of Minnesota had billions-dollar surpluses a couple of years in a row. And they spent it like kids in a candy store. And I was doing talk radio. I said, they have no right to do that. They do a biannual budget. They need to live within what they budgeted for. Just because more revenue comes in than what they expected does not give them the right to spend it.
That's right.
And so I ran, and subsequently 3 years in a row, I gave the people of Minnesota a sales tax rebate, where they got checks from the state upwards to $2,500 tax-free.
Oh, my gosh.
Needless to say, I had the highest approval ratings of any governor.
I would guess so. Brilliant. And you could afford to do it.
But it was brainless. It wasn't meaning the governor, it wasn't the government's money to spend. If they have too much, they should return it.
Wherever you went in Minnesota, people went crazy, didn't they?
Yeah, it was bizarre. My security guys would, when the people would say, well, what type of security? They used to laughingly say, rock star.
That's funny. I worked at KSTP from 78 to 79 in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, before
I worked there from 90 to 91.
Yeah, we worked for the Hubbards.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, so did I.
Great city. Great city. And I had a house in Eden Prairie.
You were a fat cat.
You know, we stayed there about a year, and then I went to St. Louis.
You know why I say that to you, George? You're a fat cat. You know why I say that to you?
Why?
Their high school has their own dome stadium.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Of course, my kids were too young to go to high school then.
Oh, Eden Prairie. They're a football dominant power. They're Bud Grant's kids. They're coach.
That's funny. They had just built the shopping mall behind my house when we were leaving.
Bud Grant's son is their coach.
That's amazing.
And they're a powerhouse. They're a state contender every year. They got a dome stadium.
I love it. Want to make some predictions for us?
On what?
Well, let's say predictions over the next year in the United States. Give me some of your thoughts. What's going to happen?
On what? Give me a topic.
I'll give you a topic and you make the prediction. Economy.
All right.
The economy.
The economy? I think it's stagnant, but it's showing slight improvement. And I judge that only by down here off the grid, there's an old cliche, if the United States sneezes, they catch a cold here.
Yeah.
And
so true.
And they're starting, I'm starting to see things pick up down here, which has to be a good sign up there. And that's what I'm judging on. But it isn't drastic, trust me. It's small increments.
The political experts are predicting Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush in 2016.
If it's that, one of two things for me. Either it opens the door for me to be the next president.
That's right.
Or it opens the door for me to live off the grid forever.
I think you should run. I'd have instant access to the president. I'd make a call and say, hey, I need you on the show.
Let me state seriously, I find it horrifying that didn't we fight England in a war for our freedom once?
And we won.
And isn't England a monarchy?
Yep.
Well, are only Bushes and Clintons the leaders of our country? No one else out of the millions of highly educated people in the United States, the country I love, nobody else in that country is qualified to be president but a Bush or a Clinton. I mean, if that isn't so apparent that we do not control our elections anymore, that you have no bearing on who your president will be anymore, if that doesn't become apparent to the American public, I don't know what I can do. I yelled at him for 20 years from the inside looking out, and now I'm yelling at him from the outside looking in. There's no other place I can yell at them, George.
No. You did tell me once if you could get the right backers to get this going for you, you'd seriously consider it.
I said that if a grassroots effort took place that got me ballot access in all 50 states, and if we had the power from doing that to ensure I could get in the debates, Larry King said to me when I started this job, he said, Jesse, you don't want to really come up and be the president. You got a dream job now. And I said, I do, Larry, I really do. But I said, in the back of my mind, and I don't know why, and I fight with this, it's a demon that always raises up in me, George, and says, if not me, then who?
Yeah. See, I've always thought that if we're going to have wars, put the two political leaders together in a room and have them beat the heck out of each other. We'd win with you.
Well, not anymore. I'm 62, man. I'm keeping in good shape. I'm 62 now. Those days are gone by. I did the introduction to War is a Racket by Major General Smedley Butler, okay, which is a phenomenal book. And I stated in there, I said, if I became president, I would work to pass a law that at the very moment that Congress votes to go to war, Congress, the president, and everybody, when they vote to go to war, if you vote affirmative, you have to, before that, pre-designate a member of your immediate family, be it a cousin, whoever, will begin immediate military service upon the vote that you take to go to war.
Boy, that would change their minds.
Because I am tired. I am tired of them voting to go to war, and they have no dog in the fight.
You got it. Jesse, stay with us. Coming back for a final hour with you, and we're going to take phone calls with Jesse Ventura right here on Coast to Coast AM.